Hello and welcome back to Neely's Bend Baptist Church's Sermon Archive. I'm Austin Jones, the pastor here at Neely's Bend Baptist Church in Madison, Tennessee, and I'm so grateful you've taken the opportunity to listen to our sermons here at Neely's Bend. At Neely's Bend, our mission is that we want to equip people with the gospel so they can live in worship of God and one another fellowship and on mission by making disciples. My hope is that these sermons from Neely's Bend Baptist Church will encourage you with the gospel to live on mission and one another fellowship and in worship of God. If you have any questions about the gospel or Neely's Bend Baptist Church, please feel free to email us at nbbc@neelysbendbaptist.org. Thanks, and we hope you have a great week.
Well, good morning. Always a delight to be with you in worship. God takes the Lord's Day seriously, and therefore we should take the Lord's Day seriously. While I served as pastor, as transitional pastor, I immediately recognized that each of you in this congregation do take the Lord's Day seriously, and you demonstrate that by your faithful attendance. This morning I want to focus on the fourth commandment and on two situations from Mark recorded in his gospel. Our goal is to take the Lord's Day seriously and not slide into legalism. Before we start, some people have asked the question, why have Christians moved the Sabbath to the seventh day of the week from Friday sundown to Saturday sundown to the first day of the week on Sunday? The immediate answer is that it was a gradual process. After the resurrection, the disciples of Jesus began to worship together on the first day of the week as the Lord's Day in celebration of the resurrection of Jesus. One example of this is recorded in Luke in Acts chapter 20, verse 7. On the first day of the week, we assembled to break bread. Paul spoke to the congregation. And another example is found in Paul's writing in 1 Corinthians 16:2, when he was writing about the collection that he was to help the people who were in Jerusalem facing a famine. He says, on the first day of the week, each of you is to set aside something aside and save to the extent that he is prospering, so that no collections will need to be taken when I come. And then in the beginning of the book of Revelation, when John had his vision on the Isle of Patmos, he said that it was on the Lord's Day that he had that vision. When that was written at the end of the first century, Sunday, the Lord's Day, was well established as a special day of worship and rest in the churches, even though for them it was a work day. However, the Jewish leaders continued to also keep their seventh-day Sabbath from Friday sundown to Saturday sundown. But the Jewish believers did not need to practice the seventh-day Sabbath. And therefore, the Gentiles and we today apply the principles of the Sabbath day on Sunday, the first day of the week, the Lord's Day. Now, if you'll look at your bulletin, you'll see that I have three questions as my outline for today's message. The first of those is what actions did God give originally for the Lord's Day? We need to let the Sabbath commandment guide us in taking the Lord's Day seriously. The fourth commandment is found in Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 through 11. If you're able, would you please stand in honor of reading God's word as I read this passage? Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 through 11. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. You are to labor 6 days and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. You must not do any work, you, your son or daughter, your male or female servant, your livestock, or the resident alien who is within your city gates. For the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and everything in it in 7 days, 6 days, and then he rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and declared it holy. And you may be seated. You'll see in your bulletins some of the sub-notes under the key questions that I'm asking. The core commandment in verse 8 just states that we are to remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. To make something holy means to set it apart. As the Lord made that particular day distinctive, we are to make the day distinctive and representative that really all of the days belong to God. The Sabbath was a day of worship and it's called a day of sacred assembly in Leviticus chapter 23. God said in Exodus 31, "You must observe my Sabbath, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, so that you will know that I am the Lord who consecrates you." We need to ask ourselves, how can we build into our Sunday practices ways to make the day different and holy? God said to the Israelites in Exodus 31, the Israelites must observe the Sabbath, celebrating it throughout their generations as a permanent covenant. So remembering the Lord's day and making it different is our response to our covenant relationship with God. God's original intent for the Sabbath was that his people would collectively focus on God and focus on their relationship with him. That is why the early church established the practice of gathering together on Sunday to worship God and to celebrate the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. They were also celebrating the personal relationship that they had with God through Jesus. And that is why we're here this morning, gathering for Bible study and joining in worship through singing and hearing God's word and praying and responding to God. The fourth commandment also states in Exodus 20 verses 9 and 10 that we are to work and then to rest and not work. You are to labor 6 days and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. You must not do any work. Now, we seem to recognize more easily that we do need rest every day. That's why we sleep at night. I'm a little more conscious of that, especially after this weekend and over the last few weeks, when my grandson and his wife had twins. They already have two boys, one who just turned 4, one's 19 months. We're aware when babies come that you don't get much sleep. They have to be fed every 2 or 3 hours and then help to get back to sleep. And then with an hour of sleep, then wake up again. But we know that that is the exception and that what we really need is that regular nightly sleep. God also created us to need rest every week. That means we need regular rest and recuperation. God did not intend for us to work 24/7, 24 hours a day for 7 days a week. The commandment to rest and not work was intended to protect us from being overworked or abusing our bodies. Our rest also demonstrates that we trust God to care for us and to meet our needs without our needing to work 7 days a week. The day of rest was a gift from God. This past weekend when we went to Alabama to be able to see the twins again, we also went to celebrate 4 birthdays in 2 days. Great-grandchildren, a grandchild, and a daughter-in-law. We gave them gifts. When you receive a gift, How do we respond? First thing we do is say, thank you. And long term, the way we best express thanks for the gift is by using it as it was intended. Therefore, if we respond to God for His gift of the Sabbath rest, we respond with thank you, and then using that day as He intended. The third point of the fourth commandment is in the first part of Exodus chapter 20, verse 11. We are to function like God created, functioned in His creation. Exodus 20, 11a, for the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and everything in them in 6 days. Then He rested on the seventh day. Keith read that scripture of the creation account earlier. Therefore, for the Hebrew people, keeping the Sabbath reminded them of God's foundational miracle, His creation of everything. We acknowledge the relationship we have with the Creator and Sustainer of the universe, and that His creation is good and it provides for our needs. Out of our relationship with God, we will trust that He knows what is best for us, and He wants us to function as He Himself functioned in creation. God made one day each week distinctive from all the others. And the last part of Exodus 20, verse 11 states, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and declared it holy. He declared that this was a distinct day. By being set apart, the Sabbath was a sign that all days belong to God. All days are dedicated to God. It is similar to the tithe, where the 10% of our income represents that all of our resources belong to God. God's day is to be taken seriously and set apart as a holy day. God's primary point is that He wants us to focus on Him as our creator, and trust Him to meet our needs as our sustainer. How do we avoid the legalism of the Pharisees? We can learn from Jesus as we look at the second question in my outline. How did Jesus avoid both legalism and no standards at all? When we ask, what are acceptable actions on the Lord's Day, the question really itself opens the door to a legalistic answer, where we try to be precise. Often the tendency is to move to legalism to avoid a chance of not obeying, not pleasing God. And that was the response of the Pharisees. Rather than seeing the command as a gift from God, the Jews saw God's command as a threat if the Sabbath was not carried out exactly as God intended. And therefore, the Pharisees went so far as defining 39 basic actions. And then with the details spelled out for each of those 39 actions, the religious leaders had over 1,000 restrictions related to the Sabbath. For example, the Pharisees spelled out how far a person could walk on the Sabbath, or how many pounds a person could carry on the Sabbath. This led to oppression instead of a recognition of a gift. In Mark, he records two situations that created a major controversy between the Pharisees and Jesus over observing the Sabbath. How Jesus responded to these two controversies reveals how Jesus avoided both legalism and not having any standards. Listen to me as I read. This time I will not have you stand. As I read from Mark chapter 2, the last verses from 23-28, And then the first verses, verses 1 through 6 of chapter 3. On the Sabbath, Jesus is going through the grain fields, and his disciples began to make their way, picking some heads of grain. The Pharisees said to him, "Look, why are they doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath?" Jesus said to them, "Have you never read that David and those who were with him did when he was in need and hungry? How he entered the house of God in the time of Abiathar the high priest and ate the bread of the presence, which is not lawful for anyone to eat except the priests, and also gave some to his companions." Then Jesus told them, "The Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. So then the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath." Then in chapter 3, Jesus entered the synagogue again, and a man was there who had a shriveled hand. In order to accuse him, the Pharisees were watching Jesus closely to see whether he would heal the man on the Sabbath. Jesus told the man with the shriveled hand, "Stand before us." Jesus said to them, "Is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath or to do evil, to save life or to kill?" But the Pharisees were silent. After looking around at them with anger, Jesus was grieved at the hardness of their hearts and told the man, "Stretch out your hand." So the man stretched it out and his hand was restored. Immediately the Pharisees went out and started plotting with Herodians against Jesus how they might destroy him. Today we're looking at these two controversies that Jesus had with the Pharisees about the Sabbath to help us to know how to take the Lord's name seriously without becoming legalistic. The first situation was in Mark 2:23. He and the disciples were walking through the grain field, and the disciples picked some of the grain to eat. This was not stealing. Deuteronomy 23:25 described this acceptable practice of gleaning. "When you enter your neighbor's standing grain, you may pluck heads of grain with your hands, but do not put a sickle to your neighbor's grain." However, the Pharisees did not see what the disciples were doing was gleaning. The Pharisees saw it as work that was forbidden on the Sabbath. Jesus had said in Exodus 34:21, "You are to labor 6 days, but you must rest on the seventh day. You must even rest during your plowing and harvesting times." The law was originally intended by God to protect workers from being overworked. However, the Pharisees immediately looked at their detailed Sabbath rules. When the disciples had plucked the grain, the Pharisees saw that they were harvesting. Then when the disciples rubbed the grain in their hands, the Pharisees called this threshing. And when the disciples separated the chaff from the grain, the Pharisees saw them winnowing. These Pharisees saw the whole process as preparing a meal. All of these actions were forbidden by the Pharisees on the Sabbath. Therefore, they confronted Jesus. "Why are they doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath?" In the following verses, Jesus responded by giving a biblical example of another situation that had broken the law. In that situation, an exception for breaking law was acceptable by God. In Leviticus 24, recorded in law, in the tabernacle, the sacred bread is to be set out before the Lord every Sabbath day as a permanent covenant obligation on the part of the Israelites. And this passage added, "It belongs to Aaron and his sons who are to eat it in the holy place." It was for the priest to eat. Mark recorded that Jesus used an example as an exception to that rule in Leviticus, recorded in 1 Samuel chapter 21. Jesus said, "Have you never read what David and those who were with him did when they were in need and were hungry? how he entered the house of God, the tabernacle, in the time of Abiathar, the high priest, and ate the sacred bread, which is not lawful for anyone to eat except the priest, and also even gave some to his companions. David and his men were hungry and needed food. The only food available at the time was the consecrated bread from the tabernacle altar that had been replaced now with hot bread. And only the priests were supposed to eat the bread, but human hunger took precedence over the law. There was an acceptable exception by God. However, it was an exception. And we need to remember that an exception is not a new rule. In a parallel account in Matthew recorded that Jesus added the example of the priests working in the temple on the Sabbath. Haven't you read in the law that on the Sabbath days the priests in the temple violate the Sabbath and are innocent? He's pointing out an example of an exception to the Sabbath rule. In our church, that example would apply to the many church leaders who have responsibilities on the Lord's Day. Certainly that would include Austin as pastor and Brother Marty as minister of music. It also includes Sunday school teachers such as Lawrence, Lorraine, and Keith, and others who have responsibilities to operate the soundboard or the computer and care for children and count the money that are given in offerings and serve in other ways. There's an exception, Jesus pointed out. The second situation was recorded in Mark 3. Again, the Pharisees were watching to see if Jesus would violate the Sabbath according to their extra rules. The Pharisees had spelled out the law to forbid healing on the Sabbath. Steps could be taken to keep a person from getting worse. However, caregivers could not really make the person better. For example, a plain bandage could be used to stop bleeding, but not a medicated bandage that would help with the healing. You begin to see how sometimes legalism can get really strange. However, they were very aware of the compassion of Jesus and felt sure that he would intervene to heal the man. If Jesus did heal the man, they would have an opportunity to accuse Jesus of violating the Sabbath law. In response to the issue of healing on the Sabbath, Jesus confronted the Pharisees with a question. Is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath or to do evil? To save life or to kill? Jesus is focusing on God's original purpose for the Sabbath, to renew life with rest, and therefore to do good. Let me repeat that. The original purpose of the Sabbath was to renew life and therefore do good. The Pharisees' desire to honor and maintain their observance of the Sabbath had perverted it and made it meaningless. The Pharisees remained silent to Jesus' question. They were plotting to kill Jesus. Matthew records in chapter 12, verse 11, another question by Jesus. Who among you, if he had a sheep that fell into a pit on the Sabbath, wouldn't take hold of it and lift it out? Jesus identified that even the Pharisees had their acceptable exceptions for their Sabbath restrictions. Have you ever noticed that legalism tends to be defined by the lifestyle of the one writing the specific rules? Jesus then gave his conclusion in Matthew 12:12. A person is worth more than a sheep, so it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath. It is lawful to do good on the Sabbath. Mark chapter 3, verse 5, Jesus healed the man's paralyzed hand. After looking around at them with anger, he was grieved at the hardness of their heart and told the man, stretch out your hand. So he stretched it out, and the hand was restored. Jesus was saddened with indifference to a person's need. Jesus was angry at the whole system of legalism, where the letter of the law is more important than the spirit of the law. One writer put it this way: Jesus refused to let ridiculous rules, petty traditions, intolerant prejudices, and excessive zeal stand in his way of doing what God had sent him to do. Jesus emphasized that the Sabbath is about doing what is good. So how did Jesus avoid both legalism and no standards at all? He demonstrated some principles, and these are in your bulletin. First, Jesus identified that there are exceptions to God's standard for the Sabbath and other things in Scripture. Specifically, Jesus was saying that meeting human needs is more important than God's Sabbath standard. The third point is, however, the exception did not become another rule from Jesus. Very important for us. We don't operate with the exceptions. And for Jesus, the fourth point is, loving flexibility is necessary for doing good. Mark recorded in verse 6, chapter 3, that Pharisees continued to miss that God was at work in the healing. Immediately the Pharisees went out and started plotting with Herodians against Jesus how they might destroy him. The Herodians were a political party who wanted to restore Herod the Great to be king of the Jews. Jesus was a threat to their goal. Normally the Pharisees and Herodians would be enemies, but here they began to join forces to oppose Jesus. And their desire to honor God by keeping the Sabbath had led them to a murderous rage. We must be careful that we do not become like the Pharisees in becoming so committed to a position about our Christian faith that we become divisive and undermine the church and God's kingdom work. And we must not miss God at work. Jesus avoided legalism by looking at the Sabbath as a gift from God to us and not a threat from God. A gift from God, not a threat by God. Our primary point of the Sabbath commandment is that God wants us to focus on our relationship with Him and trust Him to meet our needs. I don't know about you, but I always regret that people must work on Sunday to serve me when I go out to eat or I need to go to the pharmacy. However, I am grateful for their service. And I remember that the early Christians fit their worship and celebration of the resurrection around their work schedule. Sunday was not a day off until several hundred years later, and not in all cultures even then. And for most of the people in the world today, Sunday is still a work day. And yet Christians still find times for worship and rest. So my final question is, what was Jesus' conclusion about the Lord's Day? There at the end of Mark chapter 2, verse 27, the first point that he makes is, the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. The Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. It's intended as a gift. The Sabbath was not established for legalism. It was intended to provide what we need. The Sabbath was a gift. We rest from our work for the renewal of our bodies and our spirit. We need the discipline of worship together as a church to keep our focus on God and our relationship to Him. The Sabbath was made for man. We need that gift from God. The Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. During my first 2.5 years of college, I did not attend church regularly because of my work schedule. Being the part-time person, I worked every Sunday. I missed what God intended for me. When I changed colleges, I made a commitment to God to be able to find a work schedule where I could be active in church worship. The second conclusion that Jesus made is found in verse 28 of chapter 2, Mark. The Son of Man, Jesus, is Lord, even of the Sabbath. Jesus is Creator and Lord. Therefore, Jesus has the authority to set the standards and to allow for exceptions. However, for Jesus, the exceptions do not abolish the standards, the law. Jesus had the right to reject legalism and to make exceptions. So as we submit to Jesus' authority as Lord, we express our trust in Him. We must take the Lord's Day seriously. We'll take it seriously when we see the Lord's gift day as a gift from God since creation. We focus on God who created us and that His creation was very good. We celebrate the resurrection of Jesus as we gather each Sunday. And we'll take the Lord seriously when we submit to Jesus, the Lord of the Lord's Day. Would you pray with me? Father and God, thank you for the gift that you have given us of the Lord's Day. Thank you for the gift of your Son coming to die on a cross to take our sin and the penalty of death upon Himself and give us life. Thank you for your giving yourself to us to live in us through your Spirit and to sustain us day by day. Father, we want to take the Lord's Day seriously, your day seriously, because we take you, Lord, seriously. For we pray in Jesus' name, amen.